This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Troy Antic. Among the list of priorities competing for the newly elected government's attention is the welfare of children. UNICEF recently called on the Mahathir-led administration to appoint a children's commissioner as an independent advisor to monitor the rights and well-being of children. And here to explain why such a commission is needed is UNICEF, Dr. Amjad Rabi. Dr. Amjad, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
Can I start with that point there? Why do we need a children's commissioner in Malaysia?
It's a very good question. I think the introduction that you stated, many priorities now, competing priorities for the government. And we need to recognize that children, unlike other interest groups, they don't have naturally a voice or they go out to demand their, or go out to protest and have their demands heard unless we support, facilitate this, or create a mechanism for their voices to be heard. So what we are at UNICEF, we're very much encouraged with the new development, reform agenda of the current government. And we thought that we can provide our support to the government at this stage, work together with other partners and see how we can create a mechanism where voices of children are visible to policymakers and to promote a higher political and social priority for them. So it's similar to many other countries. At least there are 60 countries globally that they have such independent institution. So we hope that we can work together and look at the context for Malaysia, at the strength of the existing institutions, and see how we can promote an idea like this. Ideally, what we are looking at is to have a general mandate for the commissioner to look at child rights promotions, as well as advising the government on children's issues. Many other areas we can look at, but this will be very critical at this stage as part of the reform agenda of Malaysia.
So primarily playing an advisory role then, there's no enforcement function or responsibility within this commission?
Well, there is like some countries they give, some countries they give such institution quasi-judicial authority to receive and investigate or ensure remedies of rights violation. So they can receive complaints from individuals or other institutions, or they can initiate the investigation themselves for issues related to violations of rights of children. We've seen some variety of models how this works. But the idea here, what we are promoting, is to have an independent institution, and this is very critical for us, to make sure that it's independent. And it's independent from the executive branch of government. So we promote that it will be linked to the parliament and initiated even hiring or creating this institution. We promote that it should be initiated by the parliament and created by a law. So that states the roles and responsibilities. So all of this to ensure its independence and also provided adequate funding apart from the executive branch of the government. And they will report, like this commission reports usually directly to the parliament to ensure its independence. And it's not within the government machinery, but rather directly reporting to the parliament. It's again, like there's no one form that fits all countries. We need to have like an inclusive discussion with CSOs, with the government, with parliamentarians to arrive at the right institution or that fits the context of Malaysia. Mm-hmm. So one idea we've seen other countries that they look at the human rights commissioner, the general human rights commissioner for us here, Suhakam, and they see if they can appoint a child rights commissioner within the Child Rights Commission. And that's a very good, valid modality. But in any case, we must work, we must look at specific or the principle behind it. Its independence is a very important principle and the authority to report directly to the parliament.
So you mentioned Suhakam. I think the human rights commissioners, their appointments are very much influenced by the executive's decision. So in this children's commission, how do you ensure independence through the appointment of the commissioner, and what kinds of resources would this commission require to do an adequate job?
Usually, what we've seen that best practices globally, that the commissioner for children appointed by the parliament on the basis of consultations with the government and civil society. So it's it's using a similar process to some extent for the appointment of members of Suhakam. So it started with the parliament and then consultation with government and civil society. What we would also highly recommend that we have the appointment for a fixed term and not very narrowly defined grounds for dismissal. So this was just only to do to misconduct, and this to remove the pressure and also ensure their independence. We recommend also for the commissioners to have two deputies and appointed with the same process, again initiated by the parliament on the basis of consultations with the civil society and the government. The same thing, it has very well-defined terms of TOR and also narrowly defined grounds for dismissal. We also usually highlight what is needed to have also technical and administrative staff to support the commissioner as it's needed. Adequate funding, obviously, this is very important because they don't want to be under the pressure of competing the priorities of the government. So it's not part of the government, because government usually would have competing priorities and budget cuts. But for them, they need to be quite independent from that thinking. And what is also very important, again, to highlight to ensure their independence is that they are directly accountable to the parliament and should be, again, independent from other government ministries or departments in carrying out its functions.
I was wondering if you would know what is the reason why Malaysia currently do not have a children's commission, and if you propose this to the new administration, is there a risk of then pushing back with the same arguments used by the previous government?
I think it's also now they need to recognize at this moment that there is open space for reform agenda. And this is something very important to see. So I think the environment itself is very enabling. We see the IRC, the Institutional Reform Commission, we submitted also to them technical proposals. So I think the environment today is very conducive for us to discuss this. But also I need to highlight what's also with the previous government. We also were in discussion with this. We shared a term of reference for this. I think it was a matter of time and consultation. Naturally, Malaysia progressing at this stage to have this commission. Previously, probably that it was timing. There were many advocates within the government, Minister of Women, also Minister of at that time, Minister in the Prime Minister's office. They were actually wrote in a newspaper in supporting this idea. So there were recognition and building political capital. And I think this is an opportune time for us, very enabling environment, given the reformed agenda of the current government, to make sure that we get it through successfully. I don't think, honestly, there were any concerns about it. It's just it's natural to have commissioner for children's rights. 60 to 70 countries now, they have functioning commissioner for child's rights. And Malaysia should at this stage of its development path to embrace and work with us. We are fully committed to support the government in any way we can. We have international expertise and we can bring the best of the best to make sure that we support Malaysia at this critical stage of her development.
So what's going to happen next? How would you be pushing this agenda within the government? Who would you be trying to gather support from?
Exactly. We need to have a community of people who believe in this idea. Again, it requires national ownership and understanding and support from wider groups. We have the CSOs in Malaysia, the rights organizations. We're very happy that Ikan Kamat Berhormat Data 3-1 Aziza is also, in addition to being Deputy Prime Minister, she's leading Minister of Women, Children and Community Development. So we will raise this issue with her when with Her Excellency when we have the courtesy visit. We will raise it with our friends and partners in the parliament. Again, we hope that this should be initiated by the parliament. I think it matters for all of us children. We know that a country that has the rights of its children protected is a strong statement for embracing the future and also being genuine to our value structure here in Malaysia as a very caring nation. So we hope that we can mobilize member of parliaments and we can reach out to community CSOs to push for this. It's very important for us at a time of competing priorities not to forget children. We see many interest groups, they raise their demands in media everywhere, and I'm not saying it's wrong, it's their right and they need to advocate, but it's also all of us have children and we care about children, so we need to work to come together as a community and have an independent commissioner that looks at the best interests of the child and make sure all policies, initiatives are child-sensitive. Even the discussion about the national debt, which is looks very economical, there is also child side to it. There is intergenerational equity in such discussion. So we hope that we have an independent body that with resources to look at all big decisions that the country has.
Dr. Amjad, best of luck to you and thank you very much for taking the time again to speak to me today.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.